From the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome. So, Karen.
Yes.
We made it.
Well, through Christmas.
Yeah, but then the Mayans decided not to kill us after all.
You know, it's so funny. I had completely forgotten about that until you mentioned it right before the show.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's. You know, because once we survive the end of the world, we'll. Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I just think it's funny because there were really people who did believe the greatest internet hoax of all time. I mean, somebody out there is laughing, and it's probably the North Koreans.
Well, I have to wonder what the Webbot Project guy thought about it. Because I think he was hunkered down, probably smoking pot and eating pie. That's what he told me he'd be doing.
That's what I was doing.
Oh, well, there you go.
No, I wasn't. No, I was at work at the time and watching Star Trek episodes, just like I said, and everything turned out to be A-okay.
There you go. We're fine. We're safe. It's all good.
Yep.
And so, now we're barreling down on a new year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2013 is, I have been told by a very reliable source that it's going to be a year of growth and prosperity.
For you or for all of us?
For all of us.
Okay.
Yeah, so Karen, prepare to be rich.
You know, I don't want to be, I mean, sure, I'd like to be rich. It's like not one of my overarching ambitions in life. Mm-hmm. I just want to be happy, and I already am. So, yeah. You know, I'd like to have enough money so that I didn't have to, you know, sweat it at the end of every month. But hey, you know, in general, I'm pretty darn happy, so life's good.
Ah, come on. It puts hair on your chest living paycheck to paycheck, so.
Well, I know, right?
Yep. And I need all the hair on my chest that I could possibly imagine. So,
I don't need any.
No, you don't. So on tonight's show, we got a really good show lined up. It's actually a guest of mine that I invited to come on the show is David Jones, founder and lead investigator of Project Paranormal. It's going to prove to be a really great show. This guy has got a ton of EVPs to listen to. Not only that, he also has Bigfoot vocalizations.
Right, but Rick cheated ahead of time and listened to it all, so there will be no EVP game tonight.
There will be no EVP. But you know what, though? It was a tender moment between my son and I because my little two-year-old boy and I sat at the dinner table, and we were listening to Bigfoot vocalizations and EVPs, and the whole time he's like, Daddy,
That's so sweet. So
I love those moments.
Yes. So, Cheryl.
Yes, Cheryl. Hello. How are you?
I do have a little bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh, what did I do now?
Yeah,
you told Rick to cheat.
I was totally joking, Rick. Wow, way to, like, turn me in, for goodness sake.
It was the triple cross, yeah.
I thought it would be funny to, like, kind of make, like, Rick to get, like, everyone right, and Karen's like, what in the heck is going on? And then we finally, like, reveal the big joke. But, yeah.
Rick doesn't apparently like practical
jokes. Nice, Rick.
Because I was going to double cross you and get really upset and quit, but he told me that.
Oh, my God. That would have been hysterical. Well, I probably wouldn't have been laughing, but eventually I would have. But, yeah.
I think it's my
See, Rick, it would have been fine, you big weenie.
Rick ruined all of our fun. How dare you?
Would have been just fine, you big weenie.
Yeah, it would have been a double cross after a double cross.
I know. It would have been like that. Like any of the movies with the double crosses.
Yeah.
Except nobody would have died and there would have been no sex involved, so. Damn.
Well, maybe in your world. We don't have any kids home this week, so, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, there you go. Jim and Karen are going to be getting busy. Brown chicken, brown cow.
Oh, yeah. No, because when we go to bed at night, we have a bed full of dogs.
Wow. That kind of interferes.
It really does.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. They don't say anything. They don't know what's going on. They just sort of... I remember what our dog used to just sit in the corner and look at us like, what the hell is going on here?
Ugh. Oh my God, how traumatic. You totally traumatized your pets.
You do that in front of your child too, Rick? Oh my God.
No, that's the
story. Ah!
No. Oh my God. Oh my God.
So, let's just change the subject. Let's ease our way out of this one. Anything else new? What'd you get for Christmas?
Jenny and Chad goes, oh my God.
Yeah, that's what did I get for Christmas? Sorry. Let's see. I got some stuff from my Zen shrine for meditation, and ooh, I got a really great T-shirt. It's cool. It says "The Dude Abides." So
I like saw it. That. Yes, very mm-hmm. nice.
Yep. That is awesome.
So Jim got what we are calling the Magnificent Beast. It's a meat smoker. No, here's the thing. I love my husband very, very much, but if I have to eat another bite of effing smoked meat,
I'm going to burn this mother effer down.
I am! Oh my God, I mean, Jim and the boys could eat smoked meat every single day, forever that's and ever right. and ever. And that's all they want to eat. They don't want vegetables. They
it's
don't
a man
want
thing.
So I think they just want smoked meat.
I have to say, I enjoy smoked meat as well.
I enjoyed it.
But in moderation.
I even enjoyed it the second night. By the third night, I felt like...
Stop it.
I weighed like 1,000 pounds and my skin felt greasy. And I just thought, I can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Guess what I got? Dad
likes to smoke meat.
You'll never... I got a Nutribullet.
What?
I got a Nutribullet. Mm-hmm.
You got a what?
A Nutribullet.
The hell is that?
You are freaking kidding me.
Is that like the candy, the sugar you dip into sugar thing you were talking about?
They've been like advertising the heck out of this thing. Okay. No, it's like a drink maker. It's like a fruit drink maker that's supposed to be really healthy for you. And so you make it every morning and you drink it and then you get healthier.
Oh, okay. I'm looking it up now.
Nutribullet.
That is not anything like I thought it might be. I thought, you know, I've heard of other things called the bullet before, but not that.
Yeah, not like that.
It's an appliance.
So are the other things called bullets.
Okay.
And, so. And they buzz as well. So the superfood extractor. Well, that's exciting. So could you put like celery in there and it'll chop it up and turn it into a smoothie?
I'm pretty sure that's what you could do, yeah. I have yet to use it.
Smoothie?
I haven't used it yet.
Well, you know, you can make green smoothies are all the rage, Rick.
What is with people in California and all of their vegetables and fruits?
Remember wheatgrass? I used to drink that. It was terrible. Why did I ever even drink that? It was horrible.
Well, now you can again because you can put it in your Nutribullet.
I didn't drink it every day. I had it like maybe 4 or 5 times ever, but it was awful.
And so here's what you do is you put your wheatgrass in there and some celery, and then you take that sugar that you dip into sugar and you put that in there.
We had fun dip earlier, and Karen's like, "What's a fun dip?"
Sounds fantastic.
Well, it's you a bunch of sugar.
Like I said, you guys didn't know what an Appy Tapple was.
No.
I still don't.
I don't know what that is.
An Appy Tapple is an apple on a stick dipped in taffy.
Wow.
Not taffy, caramel. We call it an Appy Tapple. It's primarily a Chicago thing. So
You mean a caramel apple?
A caramel apple, yeah.
Oh, I've heard of a caramel apple.
Okay, yeah, so it's a caramel apple and Cheryl's eating a lick-a-stick, okay?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
What they are. We don't have weird names for stuff out here in Washington.
No. No, I guess not.
Except for... have all the cool Native American names.
That's why Washington State is so boring.
Hey, we have legal pot and gay marriage. How boring are we?
Not at all. let's take a break.
Yay.
So stick around. When we come back, we will have our guest with us. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We're going to be talking some Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. Tonight joining us is going to be the founder and lead investigator of Project Paranormal. He is David Jones. David, or is it Dave, whichever. Thanks for joining us on the Underground. So which is it? Is it David or Dave?
You can call me either way, Dave or David.
Okay. Well, that was helpful and instructive. Thank you.
Dave, it is. So, you know, Dave, thank you. Thank you for joining us. I watched some of your videos on your YouTube, and I listened to, you know, some of the vocalizations that you put out there. And I mean, it's like, it's incredible stuff. And, you know, I just, you know, got, it's, you know, one. What's
I'm
that?
Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
No, I was just going to go, you're right. It's crazy. It's amazing what's happening right now. So,
yeah.
What's cool. happening right now?
You know,
I don't know.
It's kind of why when we formed this new group, and we actually was asked by Victor Peruta, the professional medium. He was working with Gary to work on his mediumship, and we wanted to start going in that direction using mediums. And I wanted to do it because I wanted some validation on what was happening to me about as far as tuning in to spirits and being able to communicate with them, like, regularly. But, you know, right. whether I'm at home or whether I'm on an investigation, but it's happening. And as we go, it's more and more and more. So, you know, we're just trying to figure out what exactly is going on.
Well, it seems like once you start to use those abilities, you know, I caution people because once you start to use them, they do grow stronger, and it does get harder and harder to get away from it and shut it down, even, you know, when you want a little privacy. So
absolutely.
I caution people. People always say, oh, it must be so cool to have those abilities. And I say, well, yes, and not always.
No, I'm about as psychic as a brick, so, you know.
Yeah, same here. I'm not actually... what Gary and Victor also said, that everyone has the ability to do what they do.
Right.
Within them, it's just a matter of accessing it and working with it.
I absolutely agree, and I think that's why it does get stronger when you work with it, is because, you know, it amazes me how many people talk about when they, before they went on paranormal investigations, they really had no clue that they had any abilities. And the more they go on investigations, the more they develop those abilities. And it's just a matter of tuning into what's around you.
Exactly.
I really don't think that you can't. It seems inconceivable for me to be in this field for any length of time and not develop some kind of a sensitivity to what's going around. It just seems very natural, because at one time we had to know what was going on around us while we were hunting out, you know, with this, for the same game as, you know, like a saber-toothed tiger or whatever. It's there. We've just forgotten how to use it.
Yeah. And I know also it also is dependent on your heart, that you're in it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to help, because I know for sure that's why.
Sure.
I'm at the place in all this right now.
I agree with you. I think intention is a huge part of it, and it's something that we don't talk about a lot in the paranormal or in afterlife research, but I think intention is absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Sure is.
So, David, let's change some gears here. Let me just ask you this. What exactly is it that sparked your interest in this field?
Well, when I was growing up in Michigan, it was in my, my wonder years.
Mm-hmm.
It was about from probably 5th grade to 10th grade. I was living in kind of a broken home, and me and my stepsister were left home a lot.
Yeah.
And this place was out in the country, and like the only thing next to us was a cemetery. It was like down the street on a hill, and when the moonlight comes through, you could see it was real creepy, so you could see it out the window. And we were kind of terrified of that, but... there were the doors slamming, creaky floors, footsteps. We heard it all.
Excellent.
And we were left there by ourselves, you know, overnight. So we would, like, huddle on the couch under a blanket, turn the TV up, anything to drown it out.
Yeah.
And there would be times, you know, middle of the night, you have to use the bathroom. You'd come downstairs, and the whole family could be there. It didn't matter. And I remember one time walking down the stairs, and I turned the corner, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw the rocket chair move. And I looked over and I thought maybe the cat was in it and jumped out. But then I saw there was nothing in the chair at all. And it was a fairly good-sized rocker. And it was just rocking away like somebody was in it. And I was just shot back upstairs. And it's like, oh, God. You know? And nobody believed me, of course.
Of course.
Go ahead, sorry. No, please.
I just kind of held that in for, you know... Ever since I moved to Cincinnati, probably about I moved here in 96. Probably about 98, 99, I started to wonder, I think it was when the shows started coming out, like when Ghost Hunters came out, I was watching, I was like, you know what, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's what was going on with us. I'm gonna find a group and just tag along with them. And mm-hmm. I actually found a group. We kind of formed a group, the Ohio Paranormal Exploration Society. Mm-hmm. And we went out, and I wasn't having any encounters. Nothing was really clicking. Not till I met Lee and Paravisions, and we started going out, and then it just started building from there. It was like the first major encounter at Poland Farms, where I got pushed in the basement. Mm-hmm. I got touched. We smelled perfume. We smelled cigars. We had so many things happen to us that night. We saw shadows, doors shut, doors slam. We heard a shotgun. We heard all kinds of stuff. And then I was hooked. I was like, man, I really got to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
So that's really when it all started.
Well, I think that's just the thing. I mean, I always like asking this question because we always seem to be concerned with the what in this field. We always seem to be concerned with, you know, it's a ghost. Okay, fine. Well, you know, but why is it that you are involved with this kind of thing? And it always boils down to this. It is that personal experience. Nobody had any EVP machines or any, like, EMF detectors strapped to their belt when they were, you know, 5 years old and saw, you know, grandma sitting in the corner or whatever. Exactly. It's all about that that personal experience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So when Paravisions comes along and you join with them, they're the show right before us. But yep. So what kind of like prompted you to go and do your own thing? If you can talk about that.
Yeah, it was actually because of the contact I've been having with spirits. It's personal, and the thing was, I was hearing a lot of, David, can you help us? Dave, help us. Help me, please. Mm-hmm. I was getting that a lot. And then I was like, I would go to Michigan, and that's where all my family is. And they, you know, when you go back home, your family's like, oh, let's ghost hunt. Let's go to cemeteries, you know. And at first I was like, you know, I don't do cemeteries. But I went to some cemeteries, and I started doing EVP sessions, and I was communicating with the spirits at every cemetery we went to. The people that we were looking for, we found. I communicated with them. We listened to the audio. It was just blowing us away.
Yeah.
Once all that started happening, I was like, what the heck is going on with me? Am I losing it? Or, you know, but I'm recording this stuff. Other people are hearing it, and they're hearing what I'm hearing. So that's when Gary and I started talking, and Victor, they really wanted to do this, like, hardcore. Victor wants to come in. He wants to help us out on these residences, you know, really resolve issues. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. I don't want to be on TV. I don't want to be signed to an agency, traveling around doing lectures. I mean, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I want to go into these residences. I want to help people. And we've got it down to a science now where we can go into a house, and in about 2 to 3 hours, we're done. We walk out. I've got the audio to validate them. Mm-hmm. And they've got all the readings to validate me. Most of them have the readings before we can get there. The remote viewing these guys do is just incredible. And the proof of their abilities is in the client. We still talk to these clients like family. For an example, a doctor that we did recently, he's still amazed. He emails us. He's still amazed. You know, I sent him some of the EVPs and a video footage of me working with a periscope in the master bedroom and getting the spirit to communicate and play with the periscope. Mm-hmm. And we determined that was the doctor's mom who was doing that. She was also the one that was massaging him at night, touching him and whispering in his ear. And, you know, we had all that down.
Yeah.
And once we brought all that out and we talked to him about it, he was just ecstatic. And the activity subsided since then. But we told him, hey, you know, if you're sitting around the house and you're just doing something. You could be vacuuming or doing the dishes, and all of a sudden you feel that presence of your mother who passed or your father who passed. I said, yeah. They're probably there, and they're just stopping in to say, hey, you know, checking up on you. I said, say hi to them. Talk to them.
Yeah. And that's what it is, too. And I think that that's a big part of what it is that we're supposed to do is we're supposed to demystify and try and take that fear away.
Absolutely.
Because you see it on television. You got, like, the shows like A Haunting or you have, you know, Paranormal Witness. And it's like they want to make the world believe that the world is crawling with evil spirits when if you just take the time to just say, hey, what's up? They're going to be totally cool with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why we don't provoke. Now, when I first started, oh, yeah. You know, hey, ghost hunters provoke. So I'm going to provoke. Maybe I can get some, you know, yeah. And I got pushed. And mm-hmm. I got told to get out. And I should have gotten out.
What a shock.
And then there's the ones, too. You know, we got EVPs. And just because it sounds evil doesn't mean it's evil.
Right.
It's sound. There are different frequencies they communicate on, and it's going to sound that way.
It sometimes sounds a little perfect, weird, doesn't it?
And sometimes it sounds creepy, but don't jump. We have, you know, there's groups out there that hand us cases where they're going, it's demonic. Listen to these EVPs. I'm like,
I love that demonic thing.
if you go and listen to some of our audio, I've got conversations like at Land of Illusion, Dr. Psycho's Haunted Estate. There's a kid in the hallway telling me. He goes, the devil. And I go, the devil, huh? And he goes, he's real. And I go, he's real. He goes, told you.
And this is
like, and I tell the spirits, I'm like, no, guys, the devil's not real. You guys just, you know, go play or whatever you're doing. And they'll, it's crazy. Sometimes I'll hear them say, thank you, David, or thanks a lot. You know, thanks for talking to us. It's amazing.
You know, and I think that that's my contention because it's like, first off, I learned to not, you know, provoke anything, you know, way back in like 1991 when I got, you know, shoved on my butt by something. But I think that that's a big reason why I do believe that people stick around. I have never been one to believe in the whole, oh, well, they don't know they're dead. No, how can you not know you're dead?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of it has to do with considering the fact of, you know, the era that many of these spirits come from. I mean, we're talking like huge, you know, times of being a Christian. And it's like, if you did something wrong, you were told you're going to hell. And I think that that's a big
part
of...
That's why they stick around.
Exactly.
I've had them tell me that. And here's a really cool thing that we never thought about, but the mediums have this perspective. Like when we were doing the wine cellar here in Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
Gary was picking up a lady in a beautiful hat, a beautiful dress, standing outside, outside the front of the wine cellar, and he was trying to communicate with her. She could hear him, but she wasn't paying attention to him. He said it was like everyday business was going on around her, you know, and she's standing out, and he said, hey, this used to be a dress shop. And we had a historian there, and he said, absolutely, it was a dress shop. And he said, she's wearing this beautiful hat, this dress. And she started looking around, and she was like she was calling him the devil or a demon. It must be a demon. She thought she was kind of losing it. She was hearing Gary, but she wouldn't interact with him. And he said, sometimes they do that, or sometimes they'll look around, they can hear you, but they can't see you, and they'll go, it's a demon, it's a demon. And they say basically in their realm, in their idea of heaven or afterlife, it's business as usual. They're sweeping the floors, they're cleaning up, they're doing their thing. They've always done. And sometimes it, you know, they just don't pay attention to us, or sometimes they completely interact because we just walked into their house. They think. So it's pretty cool.
That's with people after a while.
Yeah, that's why I like working with mediums. And for us, here in Lebanon, I mean, this is the largest Shaker settlement ever was near here. And you know, Shakers are crazy.
Yeah.
The rocker folks. But we have, you know, Waynesville Quakers here in Lebanon, Quakers all over. And that makes it interesting, too. And that's another reason why I am super respectful. And we bring up Quakers and a lot of different things that they've done and taught us and things that we live by now. And they appreciate that.
Yeah.
And you show them the respect, they will talk to you. And it's really cool.
Yeah. See, you know, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, with using mediums and stuff like that, because, you know, there for a long time, it was extremely unpopular to use anybody with some kind of psychic ability. And, you know, prior to the year 2000, it was like, this is kind of like standard operating procedure. What do you think happened with, you know, all of a sudden people were being very mistrustful of mediums, and now it looks like we're starting to kind of come full circle back to that. What do you think the problem was, and then how was it fixed?
Man, that is a good question.
I am professional.
I wish I had Victor sitting next to me. He could be able to answer. I don't know, but we were the same way. Yeah. Early on, it was like, oh, you're a medium? Well, don't ruin the investigation. You know, that was our thought. Oh, mm-hmm. God, a medium's here. They're just going to ruin it.
Yeah.
Well,
but why, though?
Because we kind of thought it was hokey.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there was we had no proof. And there was no there's no way we could prove it, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, okay.
That's absolutely true. There is no way to prove it.
There's no way to actually, we don't have anything absolutely to prove. But now we're real close. With with Victor and Gary, it's really cool because I'll hear spirits talking, and there'll be a walkthrough with Gary or Victor, and I'll hear them talking to them, and that's the point. We're trying to record the physical audio to their telepathic communication is what's going on, and that's really fascinating. But it's validation. And when I play that back for Victor and Gary, they love to hear that. You know,
it's very validating to get something that you actually heard on audio. I've had that happen, and it's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
And
the funny thing is, Gary being a medium, he's never heard a spirit ever call his name, like, in the physical world. It's all telepathic. But we were on an investigation, and he whipped around, and he said, "Who just called my name?" He goes, I just heard somebody call my name. I started clapping. I was like, you know, hallelujah. He finally got, you know. Spirits are going to start tagging him for a change, you know, because we get the, as one of these EVPs that I sent you is kind of a bunch of Daves, because every time we go to an investigation, we turn on the spirit box, the Mel PSP-7 through the iPod speaker system. That's all it'll say for a long time.
Right.
And another good reason we mediums, Victor told me, he says, well, that's easy. Because you have spirits that follow you, and they check in, and they know you can hear that. So they'll go, "Hi, Dave. Hello, Dave." So since then, I've been able to tune in, and I know the voices. I know there's a woman and three kids, mm-hmm. and there's a guy, an older guy, and they all chime in. When we go to investigation, I turn that box on. They're right there with me. They chime in. They're like, "Hey, Dave. Hi, Dave. How you doing?" I'm like, "Hey, guys. Thanks for coming." You know, it's like a routine that... It's just crazy.
I mean,
I love that, though. That's great.
Yeah,
it's very helpful for what we're trying to do. It's extremely helpful.
You know, it's like when you think about it, assuming for a second that spirits even exist at all, which, you know, in my opinion, they do. I mean, I have no doubt whatsoever that life continues after death. But even assuming that spirits are real to begin with, there has to be people that are able to directly communicate with them. Yeah. This causes balance in the universe, and for the longest time, it was out of balance. And it's so funny because it's like I talk to people about this sometimes, and it's like a lot of people that come into the field now, they don't really know the history of what we do and why we do it. And they're like, well, you know, using a medium isn't scientific. Well, it's like, well, it's far more scientific than yelling at something that may or may not even be there, considering the fact that it's been subjected to rigorous experiments through major universities as well as world governments. It's, you know, it's a lot more scientific than you could possibly think than, you know, holding something out and saying, okay, can you pass by this and make the lights go up? You can't even prove that even works at all either. This whole thing is just so incredibly subjective that...
It is.
How do you maintain that? How do you maintain your objectivity in such a subjective field?
God. You know what? I had to kick the can and say, look, the whole reason I I've been posting all this stuff. I just want to share it with people. Yeah. I want them to see this. I want them to feel in it and tune in as I have. And like the gentleman at the wine cellar, who owns a wine cellar, I was sitting at the bar, and I'm going, excuse me, you know, I said, do you mind if I bring a recorder in? I said, I'm a paranormal investigator, and you've got a guy behind me that's tagging me. He really wants me, and I don't want to, you know, make this seem weird or anything, but I said, I really want to go talk to him because it could be something important. He goes, right. Oh, he goes, well, I'm a huge skeptic, so, you know, whatever you want to do, man, it's cool.
Yeah.
So I go over there, and 5 minutes, I go over there. I'm like, yeah, sir, I heard you. What's your name? And he tells me his name. I'm like, okay. Well, I said, do you need any help or anything? And he said, no, he just wanted to say hi. And he knew that I could communicate. And I was like, okay, well, hey, John, it's nice to meet you. And, I'll be popping in and out. It's a little pub. Come up here occasionally and have a drink. And so I go back, and he said, well, did you get anything? I said, here, listen for yourself. And his mouth just dropped open. He goes, his name's John. I said, yeah. And there was a Cincinnati UC professor sitting there as well. And then John Brown, our other, one of our other audio specialists, investigators, was with us. And he was like, no kidding. He just started looking at the recorder, and he was like, wow. And he just kept going on and on about it. I said, hey, let me do one better. I'm going to go out and grab my ghost box, okay? Mm-hmm. And I explained to him what it was. I went in to the area where they have all the wine, and there was a table and some couches in there. I went and sat down and put the ghost box up. I said, hey, John, buddy. I said, are you still here, man? You want to talk for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, hey, Dave. He goes, yeah, I'm here. And he heard it over at the bar, and his mouth dropped. And I said, hey, John, could you talk to my friend Nick here? He owns the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the bar, and we heard something come out of the ghost box. And I'm like, wow, that was clear, but I have no idea what it says. Nick, the owner, is looking at me, and he goes, that sounded French. I was like, okay. Well, I don't speak French. He goes, I do. He goes, I kind of speak it regularly, you know.
Right.
And he walks over there, and he asks a question in French and gets a response. So he sits down on the couch, mm-hmm. and they're over there talking. And I'm sitting at the bar going, John, do you believe this? He's over there talking to this guy in French. I mean, this is pretty crazy. And he was a skeptic. So we're just listening to him, and the UC professor is like, oh, this is BS. He leaves. And Nick's done. He comes back about 5 minutes later, and he goes, I don't know what to say. He pops a beer open to just drink, and he looks at me, and he goes, you just changed my life. You just completely changed my life. He goes, I was a complete skeptic, but now I do believe. I said, oh, yeah, you got a lot of spirits in here, buddy. I said, just talk to them. I said, they may try to tag you, and it may spook you, but just talk to them every now and then. Say, hey, I can hear you guys. You know, come on in. Sit down. Talk to the people. Enjoy yourselves. You know, that kind of thing. So we love doing that. That's really cool. And now he's tuning in more. He's been doing it more himself. And so it's the greatest thing. That's what we love to do.
So do you feel like you have a responsibility of any kind to the spirits?
Yep.
So what is that?
When they say help me, I mean, it's so hard. It's so hard because I'm quite empathic as well. I can feel them when they start talking to me. I can really feel their pain or their, you know, and I just can't sit back and not do anything. So, like, when we were at Dr. Psycho's Haunted Estate, the history on that place we thought was just a story. It is not a story.
What's the story behind Dr. Psycho's?
The gruesome stories behind that were absolutely shown to us in both our mediums and as well as myself and all of the investigators. From what we felt, from what we heard, it was so tragic. Oh my God! But we had some of the public that won a contest were with us, and they heard it too, and the management that was there as well. The first thing we did when we first got to our first location, set up the ghost box, and the first thing out of that was creepy, "Help me, David." And I looked around and I said, "Okay, did you guys just hear that?" And all of them said, "Yeah, just said, help me, David." I said, "Okay." Mm-hmm. We were hearing that all night by different spirits, different women, men, children. "Can you help us?" We talked to the former owners of the place. I mean, it was just like, it was crazy. And yeah, there was nothing we could do. And this is what drives me nuts. People or proprietors that own these places that have spirits in them, if you have spirits in them and they're yelling for help and we feel that they need to be crossed over, the mediums know, or the mediums tell us, "Hey, there's some spirits here, man, that need to cross." They don't know what's going on. They're freaking out. They're causing the activity. We're getting them. Oh. A lot of those places, those proprietors, don't want you to mess with their spirits.
David, it's
not that way with it's not that way with the Dr. Psycho, though. They don't know this is happening, but we want to get back in there, mm-hmm. and it's going to take a multitude of mediums to get in
there. So here's what I want to ask you about that. So we have a lot of listeners to the show who I really think don't understand how to help. Like, I know that, you know, you watch Ghost Hunters and they say, "Hey, we're here to help." How do you help the spirits?
There's a reason they call them mediums, and it is because, like, here's an instance. Like, if we encounter a boy and say a father, both have passed away. It could have been 50 years ago, 100 years ago, whatever. They can't communicate with each other. That's because their vibrations are different. They can't see each other. They can't hear each other. They can't communicate with each other. The medium goes in there and sees both of them, and then brings them together. It's like the broker. He brings them, lets them see each other, and they're gone. And that's how, when our spirits cross, or when our mediums cross spirits over, they go in there, and, you know, it's after we've already gone and done the audio, and we were able to pick up some of what they are experiencing. And they'll, like, get the spirit and telepathically communicate with them. And talk to him for a minute, just to try to get him to trust him, and say, "Look, I'm here to help."
Yeah.
You know, okay, and then what they'll be doing also is trying to contact their relatives. And the way they can prove that they're a medium and that they're trying to help is by bringing in some of their relatives or friends that will cross them over. And we've even had them use, like Gary one time, we had this young schoolgirl that had severe head trauma. Mm-hmm. She couldn't remember a whole lot. Even in death, she couldn't remember a whole lot. And she really wasn't sure what happened to her. And Gary could not contact, he could not contact any of her family. But after like 10 minutes, a dog comes in. She sees the dog, knows exactly who the dog is, turn around and says, "You know, thank you, Gary," and she's gone. She's out.
Right.
And here's something crazy. We were in Tennessee, and I picked up a girl in this bedroom of this house. It was a horrible place. And she was, "Dave, help me, Dave, help me." And I was like, I came out of the bedroom, you know, I'm like, the tears from my face because I can feel her pain. I'm just like, "Oh, we've got to help her," you know?
Yeah.
I go into the kitchen. I'm like, "Hey, Gary, can you go into the bedroom for a minute?" I said, "Just see if you feel anything." He goes in there, and I have the ghost box running. And Gary's in here, and he goes, "Yeah, there's a young female spirit in here. And she needs to be crossed over." And I said, mm-hmm. "Good." I said, "Can you please cross her?" And so he sits down, and there's no hocus pocus. There's no ceremonies or anything. It's all telepathic.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he sits there for a minute, and he goes, "Oh, good." He's talking to her, and I can hear him, and he's going, "Oh, good. Hey, I found your grandma." And over the ghost box, I hear, "Grandma." I hear the girl say, "Grandma." And then after that, Gary's, you know, helping her communicate with Grandma to get her out of there, and Grandma takes her, and what Gary sees in his mind's eyes, the girl turns around and says, "Thank you, Gary," and we hear that on the ghost box. We hear, "Grandma, thank you." It was just insane. But
do you,
that, I just broke down at that point. I lost. And I was like, and later I went back in there to see if I could communicate with her. And I couldn't. I didn't feel anything at that point.
It's like you watch some of these shows and you think about places where a lot of these investigators, and I say it in quotes, they go into these homes, like take the Villisca axe murder house, for example.
Yeah.
And they just leave and they don't do anything. And it's like, my God, these are the spirits of children. They need help more than, the alleged axe murderer that still resides in the home.
Absolutely.
And I think it's ghoulish. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh my God, absolutely. I can't. Oof. Yeah, it burns me to see that happen. Yeah. And especially when people go, oh, look, I had some kids, and they start laughing. And if I'm hearing that they're saying, help me, or you just know those kids are in trouble.
Mm. Right.
And most of the spirits that I communicate with really, really well is the children.
Yeah,
it's the children.
See, I think that those are
really the sons, and they're playful, yeah. And they're really active, and they're interactive, and they will help us out with the information we need to try to solve something. And it may sometimes we'll get in a house, and it may not be a kid that's involved with anything about the house. He followed somebody in the house. He was next door. He was on the street. He followed one of us in, but he still can help. And that's that's what we go for. And I know here's something kind of interesting that I wanted to announce to everybody. So far, I've been 100% at this little experiment. On all the residences I've ever been in, and there's been like a teenage girl, there's always a boy or boys in their room or in the house. And I can always get them to talk to me.
Yeah.
I make them feel guilty about being in a girl's room. And they'll talk. It's really funny. And I'll play it for the homeowners. I'll play it for the mom. I'll say, I want you to know something. You just have to live with it because it's going to happen. Your kids are out playing. They're at school. They're here. They're there at their store. And when they're out there, there's spirits everywhere. So they're, some spirit might go, wow, look at her. Hey, Johnny, let's follow her. Let's go, follow her. And, they're naughty. There's no doubt.
And they'll follow the other teenage boys,
Exactly. And I said, I said, you got to be careful. They're still there. Just pay attention to your daughter. Keep the room clean, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it clean. And, go up there and be a mom and tell them, hey, no boys in this room. I know there's spirits in here. You guys get out, I said, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but do it just to help them out because, they're watching.
Right. Yeah. And they are. And I think that a lot of people, they don't really, they don't quite understand that it's like, they're always there. They're always watching you. And, we have a question in a chat from, Elaine of WOOPI or Whoopi. And, her question is, has Dave's team ever been to a place that was so intense that they would not go back? Have you ever had that?
Yeah. Cleveland, Tennessee. The reason that was the place we went to, and this was huge. A lady was sending us video footage and photos because she had said that she had the ability to have spirits manifest from her physical body, and the pictures and video we saw were incredible. It looked real. But
so kind of like 19th century spiritualism kind of thing going on.
Oh yeah, it was insane. And so Victor and Gary and I, we looked at each other and we're like, this could be worth the trip down. This lady really needs some help. She needs to know what's going on. And she was seeing like a little boy manifest from a cactus. And it was really intriguing. And Gary and Victor, they remote view. So they were remote viewing into it, and they could see the place and the lands and everything. And it was pretty dark there. There was some battles, and it was kind of the darkness looming. And so we're like, hey, let's go down there, because if this is proved to be true, this lady is one in a zillion. So let's see for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We go down there, and we were able to get more of the evidence we were looking for in like a computer. We had a computer hard drive and some thumb drives. I mean, this lady took tons of pictures and stuff. We ended up with like four hard drives, a box full of SD cards, thumb drives, we had to take all that home. But we got down there, we were filming. We didn't see anything, but Victor was like, this house, this land, everything around here is unbelievable. It's just swirling. Hopelessness. Helplessness.
Yeah.
It's, and he says, I'm not going inside the house. There is demonic presence swirling in there. He says, you guys, be careful. Protect yourself. He said, it is really bad. So that was the place where we crossed over the girl in the bedroom. Because she was the one spirit that I really connected to that was interactive with me and intelligent and said that she needed help. Other than that, it just seemed like a lot of noise. I didn't really feel the wicked sensations that I thought I might.
Right.
But it was bad. And it wasn't just the house, it was the whole area. And then we were talking to the clients, mm-hmm. and they were like, yeah, my friend over here, Dan, who just died, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and she had a total of like five or six friends in the neighborhood that passed away in the last few years. And, I mean, there was everything that they were telling us.
Sure.
There were at least a dozen churches within two blocks, and they were just vacant, run down.
That's the South, animals, though, you know, the Bible Belt.
Animals penned up. We had John Green was doing remote viewing from up here while we were down there, and mm-hmm. he picked up a lot of that dark stuff, too. But Victor said there were killings here. There was a fire that killed many people. There were battles here that killed many people. He said, there is a darkness looming, and he goes, we need to leave. If she's not willing to leave, then she has to deal with this. But right. the thing was, she was unable. She couldn't afford to move, and her son just had a baby, and they wanted to move back into this house. And Victor was like, no, you got to listen to me. You can't do that. She's like, well, you know, I don't have any other choice. But unfortunately, it was bad. It was really bad. But we later we did debunk all of the stuff that she sent. It was just you know, photography. They didn't know about refraction and flares and things like that. And
that most people don't.
And even the video. The video footage was pretty bad. We had to just dismiss it. I mean, we spent 90 minutes videotaping her trying to get them to manifest, and it wasn't working. And we weren't getting even these during that time specifically for what she was trying to do. I was trying to communicate with spirits that might be trying to manifest. That wasn't happening. We were getting other stuff, but it was just you know, residual.
Okay.
So it was pretty bad.
Here's what we're going to do, David. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, there's a couple of things. You know, not only do you have a bunch of EVPs, but I also you got a bunch of EVPs for us. I also want to talk about this status you put on Facebook a few months ago about going into the woods with a gun. So if you could tell us all, you know, what that's all about. And of course, it had to do with a monster, and I love, you know, cryptozoology is my second favorite love. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk monsters, Ohio Grassman specifically, and hear some EVPs. So, you know, everybody stick around. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We're talking to David Jones from Project Paranormal, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
In her riveting novel, Break in the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American News and Politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. We're back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Still your host, Karen and Rick, and still joining us for another segment is going to be David Jones of Project Paranormal. Hey. So, that's you. So we're going to get past ghosts right now, and we're going to move more towards into, you know, the realm of monsters in the wild. Now,
don't call them monsters.
Oh, come on. What else are you going to call them? I mean, look at Elmo. Big Elmo calls himself a monster.
Giant humanoid animals.
Okay, we'll give it that. Okay, so like I was saying before we went on break, a month ago, you had put that on your Facebook page that, hey, I need somebody with a gun to go into the woods with me. Now, I read that in the middle of the night when I'm at work. So what was going on that you needed somebody with a gun?
The reason was I was going on a Bigfoot run, but there are cougars out here.
That's why I carry a gun when I investigate, too. Yeah.
And, you know, not that this matters. They're not the typical northeastern smaller cougar. They said they're migrating from the west.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're the ones that the Ohio Cougar Watch has filmed recently are large. I don't want to be out in the woods by myself with a knife and a stick going, come here, kitty, kitty.
You know? Yeah, right.
that'll never happen. And, I've taken some really crappy chances. I have put myself in harm's way a lot. All I want to do is encounter one, because if it acts the way it did with Cindy, or a lot of these people that have encounters, they're not there to kill them, to kill the people. They're there... Yeah. They just don't want to be messed with. So, but yeah, I was hoping to get some people together, somebody with a weapon in case we encountered a cougar, not a Bigfoot. We don't kill Bigfoots. Mm-hmm. Even if I had seen one face to face, there's no way. Couldn't do it.
Do you think that the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, I know that in Ohio you call them the Ohio Grassman, but are these animals... or, you know, almost human creatures, are they, would you say that they're dangerous to us?
They could be. I don't know. I think they're more afraid of us because of, they do watch us. And, and a lot of my information comes from what I've researched and with Jody Cook, who most people know. He's basically this region's primary Bigfoot and cryptozoologist.
He's been on the show.
Yeah, he's fantastic. But they're afraid of us. I think they're a little bit afraid of us in our technology. They watch us when we're hunting in the woods and stuff, and I'm sure that scares the hell out of them. So I think they are a little bit afraid of us. You know, it's kind of like that, like my nephew, he's huge. Mm-hmm. And when he plays football, he doesn't hit kids. He's really careful. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. And that's what it kind of reminds me of. They're not that angry beast. They just want to survive and be left alone.
I agree.
And that's why when we encountered them, that's why we contacted Jeff Meldrum, because he is all about protecting them. And, I mean, the legislation is all there. It's a matter of getting the physical body.
Right.
And being able to, you know, basically I think if somebody shoots one, they should go to jail and just, you know, just like shooting a person.
Sure.
It's like I'm reminded of the story about Teddy Roosevelt. When he was, before he was, I mean, we actually name our kids Theodore. We named him after Teddy Roosevelt. But I'm reminded of the story that he actually drew down on one of these creatures and didn't want to shoot it because it seemed too human to him.
Yep. And also, from what I hear, this is from Jody, who had his encounter. You know how there's some animals in the animal kingdom that have a ability to put out a subsonic, how do you call it? A subsonic
signal?
Defense, yeah.
Signal. Yeah.
That's a defense mechanism. It'll paralyze their prey, and then that way they can attack it and eat it or whatever. Or they can paralyze it and get the hell out of there. And that's what happened to Jody. He said when he ran into that Sasquatch, it turned around and looked at him, and he said he could feel the paralyzation. He said he thinks that that's what it was able to do. And so other people that encounter them, the same thing, they're experiencing that paralysis when they see one. They can't decipher whether it's fear or if they're actually being paralyzed.
So wait a second here. Now if it has this this superhuman type of ability, I mean, what exactly is it that we're dealing with here? Are we dealing with something that is, you know, completely of nature, that's just kind of like something that hasn't quite made it into evolution like the rest of us? Or is this something from a different dimension or a different time, or, you know, something that might be on a more of a supernatural level?
Some people think that it's it is a supernatural portal jumper. That's why we haven't seen him. And there are, like in our lecture that we had for the Victory of Light, we had an archaeologist in there that was talking about how come any, you know, why aren't there any bones found? But a lot of these things are very remote. And by the time they pass away, just from natural decay, and little animals like, you know, skunks and stuff, they actually eat, or the porcupine eats bones and,
right,
and stuff like that. So, I mean, and then there's probably so few, I don't know how, you know, the population of those things. But I think they're, you know, descendants of Gigantopithecus. And
that seems to be what Jeff Meldrum believes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That seems to be his contention.
Absolutely. So, and it's only a matter of time. It'll definitely come out, and I think that's what's going to happen. It's just going to be like a, man, it's really hard to say because it's not a human, but it's not, you know, it's not your silverback gorilla either.
It's almost human.
It's in between, so God, how do we treat it? We're going to have to, like the archaeologist told us in our lecture, he said, we're going to have to protect it, give it rights, and, you know, we're going to have to take care of it.
Treat it like a humpback whale.
yeah, it's really, I mean, no one's ever had to deal with this before, so it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold when it does happen, because I know it will happen.
Yeah.
And it's fairly distant future.
Yeah.
Very near future.
Yeah. So with that being said, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to go into the audio, so we have plenty of time to be able to go over the audio, because as everybody knows, Karen and I love EVPs, and, you know, we usually play a game, but unfortunately, since you sent me the EVPs and I sent them along to Cheryl, or rather you had to, you know, I wound up listening to, you know, to all of them with my kids, so I pretty much know what they already say.
Are you going to play the Bigfoot audio first?
Cheryl, yeah. do we have that?
I think we should definitely start with the Bigfoot audio, and I'll play it right from the site that you set up, Dave, with the audio, and I think it should come through for the listeners just fine.
Okay, cool.
There's a Bigfoot growl, and these two, the Bigfoot growl and the Bigfoot growls, mm-hmm, were both taken at McGee Park in Bellbrook.
Okay, so Cheryl, are we able to go to those?
Yeah, I'm going to play the first one, and then I'm going to make sure our listeners can hear that in the chat room, and then we can, as long as they can hear it, we can move on to the next one. So let's start with that first one, that's the Bigfoot growl.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
So there's some things we want to do. We want to straighten things out historically. Did you just hear that?
Yeah, did you hear that?
What was that?
What was that? Was that somebody yelling?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Did you hear that?
There was a rock. Did you hear that, Patrick?
Yeah. Somebody throw a rock?
Okay. What you just heard, that was in McGee Park. And mm-hmm, when I was talking about historically, we were trying to contact a gentleman, one of the founders of Bellbrook. What had happened, Patrick DeHart from Pair Visions was with us. He was probably standing in the stream doing EVP session, and I was on a little bit further down. And the rock, I think, landed towards him. But you hear that growl. You hear that, and then the rock comes and lands in the creek between us. That was crazy.
Okay, so let's hear the second one, then, Cheryl.
Okay.
This might be a little harder.
It's playing, but no audio.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it either.
Basically, we were in McGee Park, and two guys that we had met that night, that we we've known them before. They're kind of amateur ghost hunters that hang out in McGee Park, but they were coming from an old abandoned house. And while they were in there, they started hearing growling. So they took off. He comes and tells us, while we're standing there, he's talking, and you can hear growling behind him. Mm-hmm. Like they follow. Yeah, wow. Real creepy.
See, now it's what...
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, what's really interesting about, like, the whole...
Actually, Jericho was growling when he was over there, right?
Yeah.
I went in, there I stepped into the foundation. There was a chair, and I went in, sat in the chair for a minute. Nothing happened. As soon as I stepped out of the foundation, it just sounded like it was right here. Like, that was right behind me, and I hauled ass. And even lost a shoe.
It's could
funny
hear that.
He's talking. He's like right behind me, and you can hear.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is about the Bigfoot vocalizations that there are obviously things in, you know, out there in the woods that are going to growl and are going to bark and are, you know, are going to be really unfriendly. But the one thing that always really interests me is that two things that are primarily primate behavior is, one, the rock throwing. Bears cannot pick up a rock and whip it at you from the woods. Two. You get the hooting and the whooping and, you know, basically things that, like, you know, an ape would do. People are hearing in, you know, in woods here in the United States, there are no, well, they tell us there are no apes or gorillas here in the United States. But what are people hearing then?
And they also whistle and they click and they do other things too. They get really creative, really creative.
Well, they got to find a way to, you know, to communicate with each other, especially with the, you know, the banging on the trees with you know, sticks or whatever. But, definitely those three behaviors are very indicative of there being a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch-type creature in the area. So we have the third one, Cheryl, if you want to...
Let's play that.
This is a... Okay, I'll do my answer.
Yikes.
One more. That's okay.
Eek. Oh, sorry.
Okay. This is a recording
creepy.
That we used to blast. When you're out, you know, because, okay, we're doing the Bigfoot Squatch calls like Bobo does on finding, you know.
Yeah.
That is us trying to imitate them, and I'm sure they're laughing at us. Mm-hmm. But when you get a call like this, you actually blast it through a speaker system. You know, it's an actual squatch calling a squatch rather than humans trying to fake it. And so that's a technique that Jody uses. This was recorded in Cincinnati. This is one of Jody Cook's clients. He uses this in his lecture. There was a lady that used to go on her back porch. She would smoke cigarettes, and she would hear this thing screaming off the back in the woods. And she calls Jody, and Jody says, hey, you know, next time you go out there, you buy you a little recorder, put it out there. And she did, and she caught it. The same lady in Cincinnati, I think she's an amateur photographer as well. Mm-hmm. And she was in a cemetery. It was high up on a hill. She was just taking random pictures. She'd been looking through them, and sure enough, on the side of the cemetery, you see a large ape sitting down digging. He's digging next to the cemetery.
Well, she was outside smoking a cigarette, you said, right?
When she was in the cemetery, no. That was just that. But it was near, I think it was near her location, but she was up in the cemetery taking photos one day in the day.
Maybe wanted to bum a square, you know?
Yeah. Well, he was up there digging, and she didn't even notice. I mean, and I was like, man, I wonder if he made any noise at all. You know, he's over there digging. You can see he's got a pretty good size hole. You can see him dig, but you can see the forearms on him look like forearms on a silverback. You know how big those are.
Yeah.
I mean, but the hair was a reddish color, actually. So, interesting.
So, soulless gingers happen in the Bigfoot world as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, let's hear the next one then, Cheryl.
Okay.
There's sorry, you can hear me walking, but after, Jody Cook asked me to be his tech for a show coming up called Bigfoot Hunters. We went to Salt Fork. Mm-hmm. That's his territory. He took me to a bluff where he had an encounter, and we're just walking around, you know. History Channel wasn't due to be there until the next day, so we were just getting a feel of the place and how we might set up a all the cameras and everything, and we're in 25,000 acres by ourselves. There are probably people inside the lodge, but other than that, it's really cold. Nobody's there. It was back in April. Mm-hmm. I was like, why don't you do some calls? See if we can get something, you know? And he did some calls, and I recorded it, and we got a response. Wasn't a dog.
No, definitely.
So I had him listen to it, and he goes, well, that's pretty awesome that we could actually go out there and get it. But he's documented 8 different creatures in Salt Fork. And so I thought that was pretty cool that we had actually caught a response.
So wait a second, are we talking like 8 different species? Because I've heard of different
eight different
things.
Creatures. I'm not sure if they're different. I think it might just be 8 different grassmen.
Oh, okay.
They're different. I think they're the same grassmen type Ohio
creature.
But Cheryl, what was really cool about this investigation is I speak to spirits. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, Jody, you know what? I'm going to use my ability to communicate with spirits to try to see if they can tell me if Bigfoot's real or not, mm-hmm. and if he's been here. So I started trying to – I was out there, you know, and I can get spirits to talk pretty quick, and I'm going, holy shit. Oh, sorry. I'm going, oh, my God, Jody, there's nothing out here. He said, well, there's no settlements. There were no Indian encampments. There's nothing out here. There were no settlers before. This is just barren land. I was like, oh, no wonder. But I did get an Indian to respond to me. I did get one. He said, hey. And I said, oh, who said that? And he goes, I did. I was like, okay, you sound like a native. I said, I'm here respectfully looking for what they call the booger, if you're Cherokee, mm-hmm. and a big blue man, or the grass man, you know, if you're...
Crazy bears.
Whatever. But... I said, Jody, is there a cemetery here? And sure enough, there is a cemetery in Salt Fork. We go to the cemetery. I start talking to the people in the cemetery, and they start telling me, yes, there is Bigfoot, Sasquatch. I mean, I got like, I probably have a dozen EVPs of where I was asking a question. Is Sasquatch real? Is Bigfoot real? Have you seen him? Have they been in here? Have they been in the cemetery? And I was getting responses, yes, they have. And okay. I played it for Jody, and he was like, yeah, you know. But it was cool. For me, it was a win, because I was like, okay, good.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
So let's go with that then. Let's go to the more of the spirit communication with the EVPs. Cheryl, do we got those ready to go?
Yeah, the first one is... Dave? It's Dave. It's a compilation, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's just typically what happens when we go to every investigation.
All right, let's play that one now, then.
It's about a minute, I think.
Okay, here we go. If it will play, let me try and refresh and see if it'll play.
You want us to cheer you up?
David.
No, I had to just. I just threw that kind of together from some recent places we've gone. I really haven't, like, those are raw. I haven't.
It's like
them.
A Dave montage.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
But
they really like you, Dave.
It's what's great, though, is when we're doing functions like for the Victoria Association, we're raising money, they auction off investigations. And it's so fun because you know, I'll take a group of people that have never investigated, they know nothing is paranormal, and I'll sit this the ghost box down, and they start hearing, they're going, wow, these guys really know you. I said, we've been here a lot, and the spirits do talk, and the kids, you'll hear the kids just go nuts here when we come. They want to play, and you'll hear some of those in the VPs coming.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I listen to it, and it's like I can hear Dave, but I've never made it any, you know, like great mystery. It's like the spirit box, Hack Shack, whatever. Dude, it just annoys me to no end. It's so loud, but those were clear. That was the first time I would say I was listening to something that came on a ghost box that I could actually hear something that was clear.
Well, here's a technique. When recording the ghost box through that iPod system, I just found this out recently, too. Normally, what I use is I use a higher-end Sony voice recorder. And it has hardware filtering. So it does some of the filtering there before I even get it into Audacity. The thing is, I have been recently putting it in front of the ghost box at a distance to try to keep the static down so much. But I found out, no, don't put it in front of it. Put it behind it or to the side of it where it's not getting a direct shot from the speakers.
Oh, the reason that makes sense.
And the recordings I have now sound like voices, actual voices. We had the Victoria Theater, we put the ghost box in the hallway, and the recorder was inside the room with us, and it was recording like voices. It was so cool. Okay. So I'm going to start recording behind the ghost box from now on.
Okay. So let's listen to those EVPs. That is, you know, not, you know, all Dave all the time.
Yeah.
Only right here on Dave TV. But
thank you. I swear that's what it feels like sometimes. Yeah.
So, okay, this is how we kind of do it. Usually, David, we play like this game, but I don't want to look like a cheat and people think I'm being dishonest. Karen usually beats me anyways because she has better earphones than I do. But what we're going to do is...
Yeah, that's the reason.
It is. I have like these crappy $11 earphones and mic from, you know, Walmart of all places. But so what we're going to do is we play the EVP and then you know, briefly just, tell us about it.
Okay.
So, Cheryl, take her away. Play that funky music, A White Girl.
All right, here we go.
Okay. Karen, do you know what that's saying?
I do not.
Okay. Can we hear it again, Cheryl?
Yeah.
Okay, I must not have heard that one, but... all right, David, go right ahead.
That was at a residence right up the street from Post Town. That is a residual recording, and it's... the group collectively heard was, I hope you suffer. And we got a lot of really bad stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, can we hear that again for our listeners? Because that's a pretty ominous recording there.
All right, let me refresh it.
Okay.
Well, now I hear it, now that you said it, absolutely.
Wow, that sounds like not a very nice spirit. It sounds like something
Even though I heard that, I don't say it's demonic.
No, it's just, definitely not.
Because of all the evidence we gathered there, it was a brothel, and there was some other things going on there, and I think it was just a gentleman saying that to one of his ladies, or to somebody he might have been beating up, or, you know. But I would still not say that to...
Sounds like a hell of a guy.
Don't you think also that really if people were jerks in life, that sometimes that carries on?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so let's go with the next one then.
That's the same guy, by the way, in the same place, obviously.
Okay.
Could you play it again, Sam?
Okay. I must be able to hear him a little bit better on my phone, so I'm not really sure which one that is. But Karen, do you have any idea what it might be saying?
I need to hear it one more time. I don't know something.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not totally sure.
David?
I'm never going to leave.
Oh.
I'm never going to leave. Okay.
We were
it was a Rickroll. I'm never going to give you up. Yeah.
There
you
go. Rick Astley. All right. Yeah, that was from the same, I think the same room, actually. We got the I Hope You Suffer It, and I'm Never Going to Leave. And I was, we were starting to do a bit of saging and smudging as we were leaving, and I was basically telling him, you're going to have to leave. You have to leave this family alone. You have to get out of here. And that's what right. I got this. And he's basically telling me, I'm never going to leave.
So your group does that too. You guys do the saging then, because a lot of people there, like, they stay as far away from that stuff as humanly possible.
Yeah, especially before we had the mediums, we did it like as much as possible before you go in. You know, it's a good idea. I mean, not only to say a prayer, but yeah, it's a good idea to keep yourself protected any way you can. So we would carry a pouch of protection stones and. We would go in, and at the end of the night, everybody would get saged, and we would smudge the place and teach people how to keep it clean.
That's
spiritually, and that's how we helped them before mediums.
Yeah.
Now with Victor and Gary, they're so powerful. We don't even. It's really not necessary, except for our personal safe, our personal cleansing. Now right. when we leave. Yeah, we do our personal prayers and cleansing. Yeah, that's pretty much mandatory.
Okay. Yeah, I used to work with a much larger group here in Illinois, McHenry County Paranormal Research Group, and that was pretty much standard operating procedure. If we were going into some place that had something very negative, we saged before we went in, and we saged when we came back out. And I think that, I mean, even if you don't believe in it, that's fine, but people need to find a way to protect themselves, because there are spirits that will, they'll F you up if given the right... amount of time and opportunity. So, sure, let's go to the next one then.
Here we go.
Now, this one, I don't know, it's not really saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, how would you play the game? There's actually something going on that's kind of cool. But
it goes ooh in the background.
Yeah. You hear the chanting.
That's a Native American chanting.
Okay. So it was either that or somebody said something about feathers. I wasn't sure whether...
Oh, it was. Matter of fact, I think that was investigator talking about something related to that. That's interesting that the Indian was chanting behind.
Yeah, now, definitely.
And I believe that was captured... Let me see here. That was in the... Oh, that was in the bedroom. That was the master bedroom that we caught that.
Cool.
Okay. Cool. All right, let's move right along then.
Give us a sign that you're in here with us.
What does it sound like to you? Oh, yeah. Is the furnace running?
Yeah, that was one I can't something, correct?
That's the spirit trying to get John's attention for sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is the furnace running?
So, Karen, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think is being said?
I don't know. I'm not hearing too well tonight.
Okay. So, Dave, what's going on with that one?
Hey, I'm in here. Look at me.
Okay. You know what?
So it's a teenager then.
It sounds like a female was saying that, and she was saying that to John, the other EPP specialist here.
Okay. Cheryl, can we hear that again? Because, I mean, I actually do think that I would be able to hear that now.
Give us a sign that you're in here with us.
What does it sound like to you? Oh, yeah. Is the furnace running?
Oh, yeah.
I hear the hay in here, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in here. And there's a little bit of a pause. Look at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Neat. All right. Moving right along.
This All next right. one is especially cool.
I want to take a picture. And if you understand...
I hear it. I hear the syllables. Can I hear it again, Cheryl?
Yes. Let me get that back up there. All right, here we go.
I want to take a picture. And if you understand...
So it says, no, you don't.
You guys are going to like this one.
It says two sets of three syllables. Dut, 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 dut. So I can't make out what it's saying, though.
You want to play it again?
Sure, one more time.
One more time. Here we go.
I want to take a picture. And if you understand...
Hell no.
You like this. This is taken in a verified underground railroad house. Preachers used to live there, and they would transport slaves from one building to the other in this town through an underground tunnel. We were in the basement. Actually, nobody was in the basement, but John was down there by himself. John is a 6'2", I think, 6'2", to 6'4", African-American gentleman. And he was simply saying, I'd like to take pictures of you. And it says, get out, big nigger.
Oh, my goodness gracious
me. Sounds kind of a southern, it's kind of a southern draw to him as well, which interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's, it's really funny because in an investigation that I did, we up here in northern Illinois, we have a few homes, a few of the older homes that were, in fact, Underground Railroad depots. And I was in the basement, just like that, where the runaway slaves are being held. And I asked the question, can you believe that there is that we have a black man for a president? And the EVP came back and said, yes, I can.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very cool. So obviously they knew what was going on.
We do that a lot. I do that a lot. I'm like, can you tell me who's the president? Or who's the last president you remember? Mm-hmm. And people love to answer that question. I get Monroe, Harding. I get those guys a lot. But
yeah.
Recently I got one. It says Obama.
Oh,
so somebody who died recently or somebody who's been informed.
Yep. Absolutely.
They're probably watching the TV as over their living people that live in the home. So all right, let's move right along to the next one if there is one.
Yep.
Okay.
Same house.
The plastic piece in my ear.
Something. He didn't do that to me, or did you do that to me? It's something. Do that to me.
Definitely a female voice.
Can you play it again, Cheryl?
Huh.
One more time.
It's a plastic piece in my ear.
She did that all to me?
It's something that to me.
And we believe it's an African-American woman, a slave, that says, I'm going to need you to help me.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Can
listen
we hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a plastic piece in my ear.
I'm still hearing something that to me.
I could definitely hear the accent and the intonation in there.
I'm going to need you to help me.
Yeah, I definitely hear that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Great place to investigate. This next one is really interesting. And one of my favorites for sure, because I was alone when I recorded this.
Do you have a message you want to tell someone? I'm sorry, what?
I was in, I'll go ahead and drop the name of this place. It's in Bellbrook in the McIntosh Pub.
Okay.
We were doing an investigation. I was walking from the pub, through a little hallway that goes to the upstairs, and there's a ballroom up there. And in the hallway, I heard a woman say, "Hey," and I was like, "Oh, I just heard a woman say something." And I said a few things, and I said, "Is there a message? Is there something you want to tell me?" And I don't know if you guys.
Now let's one more time.
Yeah, hear it again.
Do you have a message you want to tell someone? I'm sorry, what?
I can hear it, but I can't make out what it's saying. So that was actually a disembodied voice, not an EVP, because you actually heard it.
Yeah, well, I would say becoming very clairaudient. So
yes,
sometimes I don't need my headphones. I'll hear people talking to me and I can pick it up. But I had my headphones on.
And
I heard her real clear, but I didn't hear what she said. And what she told me is interesting because a medium that we use now that's not in our group, C.J. Reeves, she used to live in Bellbrook. And she believed that the Bigfoot creatures that we were hearing about and recording was actually what she has determined was the Wolfman. She said there is more of a human type of cryptid roaming around here that's a Wolfman.
Oh, we have that just north of
me. It's much more human. And it's all over. When you talk to Jody Cook, he'll tell you the same thing. It's all, matter of fact, he's been on investigations out west where they have tracks of these things. But she said it was more of like a werewolf. She don't want to call it a werewolf. She just said more of a Wolfman, more of a, you know, a human type cryptid that might be, you know, in the woods or whatever. And that's funny because of what this lady's saying. She's saying, I'm a werewolf.
Mm.
What? Okay, let's hear that. I gotta hear that. Because I don't remember hearing that. Maybe I didn't hear all of them though, on my phone, so.
Do you have a message you want to tell someone? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, I definitely hear that. I'm a werewolf. Wow.
That's nuts. I was like, that is really bizarre.
Yeah, I've never heard one like that before. So, Cheryl, how many more do we have left? Because I want to make. Hopefully, we can get them all in.
We have 10 more.
Oh gosh. Okay.
The next one is a. It's basically I can set up. It's a reverse EVP. You hear the. You record it and you're going, "Wow, that sounds weird." But I'm a musician. It sounded like it was in reverse. So I hit it in reverse, and it actually says someone's name.
Okay.
So we've done that several times, recorded reverse EVPs. I don't know if you want to hear that, but...
Respect. Sounds like respect.
Respect. Orson is the name I hear.
The very first one is reversed. Very first one is what he says, and it says, like, Felsham. If you say Felsham and record it and play it backwards, it'll say the same thing. It's pretty cool.
Okay. All right, moving right along to the next one.
It actually says Michelle. The second one is, when I reversed the EVP, it says Michelle.
Oh, okay, got it.
Oh, okay, yep,
here,
got
Michelle.
It.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Next one's great. Land of Illusions. Here comes the Dr. Psychos. There's a couple here that I got for you.
I just love the name of that place, Dr. Psychos.
Oh. Rick talked over it. Could you do that one again?
Sorry.
Is it... one more time. Is it the kid's voice?
Yes. Now, there's one after it that says... well, it says something, but...
It's okay. You can drop that on the air. It's fine.
Yeah.
We do it all the time.
The guy says, shut up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But do you hear the kid?
Yeah, I hear the kid.
Hey. He goes...
Get that man or something like that.
I hear, ouch, that hurts.
I jammed my head. That's what we're picking up. Not sure.
I jammed my head.
He goes, I jammed my head! Or I slammed my head or something.
Hmm.
But that's like a voice.
Yeah, I could hear how you would hear that. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely hear that.
Okay.
All right, moving right along.
You want to talk to us? Hey, how you doing?
Okay, this one's uber creepy because it jives with the terrible things that have happened to people in this house. I don't know if you can hear it, but there's three definite at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. Three things that you hear that totally jive with what's going on there, or what has happened.
One more time.
You want to talk to us? Hey, how you doing?
Do you want me to give it up?
Do,
yeah.
Please.
if you could.
It goes, ice. Then in the middle it says, we've been on ice.
Oh.
Yeah.
They so it's a way... Left it,
they were stored in the basement.
Okay. Ice. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That is pretty creepy. Yeah.
Next one is brilliant. I heard somebody call my name in the closet on the second floor of Dr. Psycho's, and this is what I got.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, isn't that cool?
Who are you talking to?
Dr. Psycho.
Dr. Psycho.
It's me. It's me, just a servant.
Oh. Mm.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah, I heard like Dr. Psycho, but you know what? That's what's funny about EVP.
It's me, just a servant.
Okay.
Yeah, I think people hear different things sometimes, but definitely something there.
Yeah.
Do we have more?
This one's really good too, because it has. It's. I know it's. A lot of the ones I've been catching there are like long phrases on the ghost box. So I don't know if you wanted to try to decipher this one or it's creepy.
Yeah, let's try it. Try.
But it's good.
I hear dead.
I heard die. What is
wrong?
He goes, you'll hear him go, Dave. He goes, Dave, help us from Doc. Door. The doctor.
Okay.
And the doctor was Bradley Cooper. Or Bradley Carver, I'm sorry. Bradley Cooper.
Oh, Bradley Cooper, the actor. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, blue eyes. There's a. No. Bradley Carver was the doctor. So he was saying, Dave, help us from doctor.
Oh, okay.
And he says Dave right away, too, so you'll be able to catch that.
Yeah, I can hear it in there. Yeah,
definitely.
All right. More? Do we have more?
Here we go.
I need to hear that again.
Yes. It's right at the beginning. The
I don't even know. Is that what it says? I don't even know.
I don't want to die.
Oh, okay.
This was actually in the basement of the Sorg Opera House, which used to be a dressing room. So I'm assuming that somebody was practicing their lines, possibly. I don't want to die.
Mm.
Unless somebody was killed down there, but there's no historical record of that. But
okay.
It's just, anyway.
Okay, here's the next one.
This is good. Those are... I have kids that I talk to and play with at the Victoria Theater in the Belgrade.
Okay.
And did you hear what they said? I think it's pretty...
I thought they said daddy, but...
Yeah, it's...
We were...
Daddy, help me.
Daddy, yeah.
I bet they won't catch me.
That's it. I'm not
playing,
working well tonight.
We were playing.
I shouldn't have listened to him.
Kids love to play there.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine someplace like that is really great to play at.
Oh my god, yeah. And with the kids there, they're just amazing.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Okay.
I bet they won't catch me. That's over the ghost box too, so it's phenomenal.
Let me play it one more time.
That is a good one.
So, Yeah, definitely can hear that.
All right, we have four more, so we'll try and get these in real quick. Here's the next one.
Okay.
Those boys that followed us, did you hear us? Are you guys here?
I can't hear that one. That's good. Basically, he answered, he goes, yeah, we're underground.
Okay.
Mm. Those boys that followed us, did you hear us? Are you guys here?
Yeah, we're underground. See, I can hear their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Only because I've been listening to the Ghost Box for like 3 years now. It's the Mel PSP 7 too, by the way, the good one.
Okay.
What's cool. The next one?
The latest round.
Help me. Yeah.
Victoria Theater also in the puzzle room in the basement. We didn't hear that until I reviewed this. So it's pretty creepy that we normally don't get help me's in there. So getting one is kind of an alarm for us anyway. But okay, yeah, that's cool. Obvious one.
Play that one real quick one more time.
So it says, help, help me.
It yes. Sounds very anguished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next one's in the bathroom. I captured in the bathroom. I left a recorder on the sink and went to the bathroom, the urinal in the Victoria Theater.
Did I hear the F word?
No.
Okay. I thought I heard like an F-bomb being dropped there, but okay.
At the beginning, you hear, I call it, it's either one of my spirit friends or one of the boys there. He goes, hey, Dave, shh. And then you hear a guy go, all right, who's talking?
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not at all. Okay. That's very good.
Yep, that is cool.
Pretty amazing. All right, there's
one
left.
The last one, once again in the theater, you won't miss this one at all. You know what? It sounds like the same guy, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. It sounds exactly like the same guy. So what is it that they said? I missed it.
You'll get it.
Wow.
Something about your head?
Quiet.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
You can hear
man,
it right there in the middle.
Man, I really stink tonight.
Oh, man, I shouldn't have listened to these.
Now I hear it.
Yeah, right in the middle there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, we're talking, no matter what we do, any kind of noise we're making, this guy's, I gotta find out who this is. That's interesting, though. I didn't.
He wants you to be quiet. You kids get off my lawn. He's cranky old man.
Hey, he must have attended the bathroom. Yeah. He must have been the bathroom attendant, because it's the Victoria Theater. It's very upscale. Right. It's all marble, beautiful marble and brass in the bathrooms. 15-foot ceilings, you know, it's really gorgeous. Cool. So place.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you. We are just about out of time. You. We usually don't go quite up this far with our guests, but hey, you were a great one, so I hope you'll come back.
Man, anytime.
All right, and bring more of your great, your great EVPs and your stories about Sasquatch. Sounds good to me. What do you think, Rick?
Yes, I always love hearing that kind of thing, especially the vocalizations. We so often hear EVPs on the show. It's very rarely that we get to hear something that's in the forest that may try and eat you when you least expect it.
Yep, absolutely, and we're still investigating regularly, and right now it's great because of the snow on the ground up here. We can actually go in and get some tracks, but they've already recovered tracks from just this past last month. There were tracks in a cornfield, and we got those. We actually didn't have the casting material, so we cut the tracks out of the ground, and they're in a garage, and they're all dried and ready for casting.
Oh my God, that's so awesome!
And there's a bunch of. So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, I hope you'll come back. It's been a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, David.
All right. So, thank you so much. Oh, do you have a website? Thank you, Cheryl.
Yes, it's projectparanormalinvestigations.com.
All right. Everybody go check that out. It's a cool website.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, David. You too.
Happy New Year. Bye.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we don't have much time. Who do we have next week?
Next week we have, let me get my schedule. Here we go. January 3rd. We will have Christopher St. Booth. And if you haven't heard of him, he is a film and television producer and director. And you might have heard of some of his work. It's Spooked. And then Children of the Grave, among many other productions.
Yeah, I mean, the Booth Brothers stuff is great. You know, they're very they're very real. You know, it's not like there really isn't any like BS behind them. It's they're very passionate. They're very dedicated to you know, afterlife studies, and it comes out really well in their films.
Yeah, yeah. So are we still on? I think we lost connection. Can you guys hear?
I can hear you.
You can hear. Okay. Wow, that was strange. Sorry about that.
I think it was probably Dave hanging up.
Ah, yes, it was.
Yes.
But yeah, so join us next week, and then the week after, we're going to be talking to our friend Rob Marie, who is a spiritual medium, and we've had her on the show in the past. And the week after, January 17th, we're going to be having somebody back that we had on last month, who we needed to talk to more. Her name is Kristen Ann, and she's the author of Exploring Sacred Space, A Vast Quest, and we're going to have her for the whole show this time. So we can ask all of our questions.
Excellent.
Awesome. Excellent.
Yes, so excited about that. Also, I wanted to make a quick announcement because we need to go, because Fox City's Paranormal Radio is coming up next. We are going to be unveiling a new website on paranormalunderground.net. We are supposed to unveil it January 1st, so keep your fingers crossed and come visit us at paranormalunderground.net then, and let us know what you think.
All right, so there you have it. It's the end of the show. Come back next week, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Other times in the flyover states, it's Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. Stick around for Fox City's Paranormal coming up.
Actually, I was just informed they're not on tonight. So, hey,
never mind.
Stick around and listen to the archives. Yeah.
Stick around for whatever. It's a surprise.
Yay. All right. Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.